ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दहस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the thousand names of Devi. I found in Lalita Sahasranama. So today we will discuss the five names, starting from the 316th Nama till the 320th Nama. So the first Nama of the day is ॐ रतिप्रियायै नमः। रतिप्रिया, सो वन हू इज वन हू लाइक्स रति, रति इज यू नो कामदेवास वाइफ, सो वन हू लाइक्स रति देवी, सो व्हाई डस देवी लाइक रति देवी, सो देवी लाइक्स रति बिकॉज So Devi likes Rati. So what is the reason that Devi likes Rati? So Devi likes Rati Devi because Rati Devi was devoted. So if we remember the story where Shiva opens his third eye and Kamadeva. So Kamadeva was burned to ashes. So after that Rati Devi worshipped Tripura Sundari. So Rati worshipped Devi and thereby due to Devi Haranetragni Sandagdha Kama Sanjeevan Aushadaye Namaha. So after that Devi out of compassion, Devi brought back Kamadeva. So Devi brought back Kamadeva not because Kamadeva is essential in the world. Oh, without Kamam nothing can happen, therefore it is required. Nothing of that sort. And it is not because of compassion or pity for Kamadeva. But it is because of Rati's devotion. So devotion, wherever devotion is there, Ishvara, Devi, will help. So we have already learned that Bhakti Priya, Bhakti Gamya, Bhakti Vashya, that Bhakti Devi had, Rati Devi, sorry, Bhakti Rati Devi had, therefore, okay, Rati, we'll keep it Rati. So Bhakti Rati had, therefore, Devi helped us out. So Devi is Rati Priya, Devi likes Rati because Rati has devotion. So Krishna says the same thing. Tesham jnani eka bhakti vishishyate priyo hi jnanino atyartam aham sacha me priyaha priyo hi jnanino atyartam aham. I am very dear to the jnani and sacha me priyaha, and he is also very dear to me. I like him a lot. So liking, if we relate that liking to worldly liking, then we can realize, we can find out that worldly liking, wherever we like somebody, we try to help them out as much as possible. So we try to help people around us because we like them. That liking makes us work towards helping others. So for, and the difference between our helping and Devi's helping is we are helpless and we try to help others, whereas Devi is always without any bondage. Devi is bondageless, ever liberated, and then she tries to help out. So bhakti, bhaktya mam abhijanati. In one of the places Krishna again says, bhaktya mam abhijanati. You can know me through bhakti. Purishasya parapartha bhaktya labhyastva ananyaya bhaktya ananyaya bhaktya atu labhyah. Ishvara, I can be known through ananya bhajanam, ananya bhakti. So ananya bhakti, that one of the aspects of ananya bhakti is when a person feels so helpless that he cannot remain without Ishvara. So it's not helpless because of worldly things alone, but it is that helpless state, like when a fish is on land. So when a fish is on land, it cannot breathe, therefore it is very helpless and it lets go. It wants to realize, it wants to get into water. Similarly, if we are so desperate for knowledge, I am in bondage, I have bondages, I have sorrow, I want to come out of that, that will cause real bhakti. Real bhakti is when we know we are suffering and we want a real solution out of this suffering. And thereby we seek Devi completely. So that bhakti, Devi is a slave to that bhakti, and Rati had the bhakti, therefore Rati Priya. So the next nama is Om Raksha Karyai Namaha. So with respect to Rati, Devi liked Rati because Rati had devotion, and as a result of that, what happened? Raksha Karyai Namaha. Devi helped out Rati. Devi helps out. Devi is always helping out people. So Raksha Kari. So we don't need to think, oh, does Devi help only people with devotion or people without devotion? There is no differentiation for Ishvara. Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshyosti Na Priyah. Oh Arjuna, I maintain Samabhavana. Name Dveshyosti Na Priyah. I don't hate somebody, I don't over like somebody as well. Then why do you like Riti? Name Dveshyosti Na Priyah. Ye Bhajanti Tumam Bhakti. I cannot but like them because they seek me with devotion. Since they seek me with devotion, I am in them, they are in me. They become one with me. If they become one with me, how can I not like myself? There is only liking there. There is only anandam there. So that is the reason why I try to help them out. So I don't differentiate between people. So Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Yatva Mam Shanti Mrityasi. So Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, I don't have any differentiation with respect to people of the world, but still whoever comes to me with devotion, I reciprocate the feeling. So I am just a mirror, as Amma says, I am a mirror which reflects whatever is in front. So if a person comes with bhakti, complete devotion and surrender, then that will get reflected. Complete devotion and surrender means aham and mama vanish. When aham and mama vanish, aham iti atma dhirya cha mame iti atmiya dhira api artha shunya yada yasya sa atmajnyo bhavet tada. Shankara says atmajnyo bhavet tada. So Shankara says in Upadesha Sahasri that when a person doesn't now have aham and mama, that very moment he realizes the self. So self is always helping out. Okay, what is the help of the self? The help of the self can be put into two. So that is what the next three namas explain. So first help of the self is Om Rakshasa Agnyai Namaha. Rakshasa Agnyai Namaha. So Rakshasa Agni. So Agni for Rakshasa, that means one who kills Rakshasa, one who destroys Daman. So the one of the help that the self does is destroy evil things. So what is evil? Is it like a person who has Ahankaram? That is that evil? Is like people who kill others, are they evil? Evil is just that which gives us dukkha. So the simplest explanation for evil. So evil is something. Rakshasa is one who gives us dukkha. So that which gives us dukkha, whether it's an object, inanimate object, or a sentient being, whether it is moving or immoving, it doesn't matter. Whatever gives us dukkha, he said, Rakshasa. Rakshasas trouble us, and through trouble they make us suffer, they give us dukkham. So that which gives us dukkham is a Rakshasa. The self will remove all dukkham. How does the self remove all dukkham? Because the self is itself is anandam in nature. That which is anandam in nature, wherever it is there, dukkham has to immediately vanish. So when the sun comes, everything has to vanish. So all stars, everything will vanish. When light comes, darkness has to vanish. There is no option there. There is no alternative. Okay, shall I go after some time? Let me stay for 5 minutes. There is no such option there. So similarly, when the self comes, Ananda Swarupa self comes, everything else has to move away. So Ramana Maharshi gives a beautiful analogy to illustrate this. So the sun is the self, the moon is the mind. So at times, sometimes we can find that the sun is there. When the sun is there, we can, evening sometimes, in few climates, we can see the moon as well. But does the moon have any power when the sun is there? The moon doesn't have any power at all. Most of the time, the moon and the stars are not there when the sun is there. Even if the moon is there, it is ineffective. So it's like telling, oh, I have like my favorite food in front of me, laddu. Lots of beautiful, good looking, big Tirupati laddu is in front of me. But my very close friend passed away. So those laddus are there right in front of me, but still I cannot enjoy. I cannot eat it, I cannot enjoy it at all. So it is there in front, but it is ineffective. So the moon is there, but it is ineffective. The sun denotes the self, the moon denotes the mind and other things. So all other things may be there. So after realization, like Amma and other Mahatmas, the mind still works. Everything is the same like it is for us, but still the difference is that they are ineffective. The self overrules, overpowers everything. So wherever the self is there, anandam will automatically be there. So that is one of the deeper significance of Bhagavatam. Wherever Bhagavatam is chanted, Shuka Brahma Rishi will be there. Shuka Brahma Rishi and many other saints, rishis, devatas, etc. will be there. So Shuka Brahma Rishi, like Shuka was a person who was ever happy. So unattached from the entire world, indifferent to the entire world. So he roamed around like without not wearing any dress. And children, even in Bhagavatam says, children will be throwing stones at him, but still he'll be blissful. So that state, so Shuka, wherever Bhagavatam is discussed, Shuka will be there. That means that wherever the Atman is being thought of, is being discussed, that very place Anandam will be there. And wherever Anandam is there, Dukkham cannot be there. So Rakshasa Agni Namaha. So Rakshasa Agni. So that is one of the aspects of the Atman. So Devi, how does Devi help a person? Devi helps by bringing in the Atman, bringing focus to the Atman. So that is the reason why, like, Devi brought Kamadeva back to life. So Kamadeva means desires, lot of desires. So what is the greatest desire? The greatest desire is the desire for the self. That desire which fulfills all other desires. So that is the desire that Kamadeva denotes. But that desire can be mistaken for something else. Even as Hanuman mistook the sun for an apple or a mango. Similarly, we can mistake it, and the moment we mistake it, we consider it as something limited and we get limited happiness. Whereas, if we consider Kamadeva as the greatest desire, which is Atmakamam. Atmakamam means desire for the self, desire to abide in the self, desire to ever be in the self, that desire will make us full. That desire will give us anandam. So one aspect of that is how Devi fulfills it is by getting rid of dukkham through killing Rakshasas. So Rakshasas can also be like it's a general interpretation is Rakshasas are anything that gives us dukkham, whether it is a mind or the intellect. Mind is of two types. One is good mind, bad mind. So we have all those differentiations. So the simple explanation is whatever gives us dukkham, whether it is even singing bhajans, even that gives us dukkham, then that is also a Rakshasa. And not only Devi will get rid of Rakshasa by bringing in the self, Rakshasa vanish first and then Anandam of the self will be enjoyed. So Anandam of the self denotes the state of a person, that person who is very innocent. So very innocent. So when we think about innocence, there are only two people that will come to mind. Generally, innocence is related to children. So children are very innocent. But there are women who are really innocent. Women means like feminine qualities. Wherever there are qualities of compassion, the real feminine qualities of compassion, love, etc., innocence automatically comes there. So Om Ramayai Namaha. So Rama means Stri. Devi is the form of Stri. Devi is female in everything. So the feminine qualities, wherever the feminine qualities are there, their innocence is there. That innocence is what makes a person very happy. So Jnani is very innocent. Innocence at its peak. Innocence in the sense that like whatever happens, he takes it as just an illusion, as something which is new, something which is not at all there. That will bring innocence in us. Only when we think, oh, if I do this, will something happen? Then the innocence vanishes. Innocence means we know that it is just an illusion. We just play in it. So playful. So that comes. So Devi instigates. Devi not only removes dukkham, but instigates these good qualities, good feminine qualities of innocence, compassion, love, etc., which in turn will make us abide in bliss, which in turn will make us rejoice bliss. What is rejoicing bliss? Om Ramana Lampatai Namaha. So Devi is one who always likes to play with her husband. So feminine qualities, and feminine qualities, like when feminine qualities mix with masculine qualities, so feminine qualities of compassion, love, when they are mixed with masculine qualities of intellectual conviction, mental strength, then Anandam happens there. That is Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini. So where Shiva and Shakti, masculine qualities and feminine qualities, when they both mix, that is when Ramanam. So one who is always like one who has a desire to rejoice with her husband. So when that they both mix, then Anandam is a fruit. Anandam is the result. So Devi first removes dukkham and then makes us rejoice, experience, intuitive experience, one's own experience of Anandam by instigating, by creating good feminine as well as masculine qualities, which will in turn make us ever abide in Anandarupi Atman or Brahman. So that is what Devi does. And why does Devi do that? We have already discussed. Devi does it because Devi is a slave to devotion. Wherever devotion is there, wherever real devotion is there, the self automatically comes there. So devotion is not just, you have to remember, devotion is not just going to the temple or singing bhajans or able to find out or know lot of bhajans, chanting shlokas or going to another person and falling at his feet or always saying to a person, you are my guru, you are helping me, you are helping me, you are guru, you are guru, you are guru. That is not devotion. Devotion is not something that can be expressed externally. Devotion is a quality of the mind. Chinmayananda, it's not just mind. So Chinmayananda beautifully says, the emotional qualities of the mind and the intellectual capabilities of the intellect, when they both mix, when emotions and intellect thinking both mix, that is where the heart, that is the heart, heart is the place where devotion happens. So that is exactly the same thing what is mentioned here as well. That is, feminine qualities, mental emotions, masculine qualities, intellectual conviction, when they both mix, when they both merge, then that is real devotion. That real devotion will make us immediately rejoice in Anandam. So a person will try to implement devotion. So a person tries to implement devotion, and when he tries to implement devotion, there will be obstacles. That obstacles will be removed by Devi, and Devi will strengthen the devotion. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktah shraddhaya architum arhasi tasya tasya achalam shraddham tameva vidadamyaham. Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Gita, 7th chapter of Gita, that whoever worships me with some shraddha, some faith, some belief, some real belief, some surrender, some belief, etc., then I will strengthen that belief, make it devotion. And that is exactly the same thing that Krishna tells in the 12th chapter as well. Mai eva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. That is where Shiva Shakti means, that is devotion, and such a person will ever abide in Anandam. So whatever obstacles come when a person tries to implement it, that will be removed by Devi, because Rakshasa Agni, and then Devi herself will help us with Rama and Lamana Lampata. Devi will help us because Rati Priya, because Devi likes us. Devi likes us not because we are beautiful, not because we seek the self, not because of any reasons, but the only reason that Devi likes us is because we are ardently seeking the self. So sometimes we may find that we are seeking the self, or we think we are seeking the self, but still we may not get any help. Like many people would think, oh, I'm doing all this, but still Agastya says that I have only bhogam, 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 bhogam. Why is it that way? So if we try to analyze, then we will clearly find that we are not ardently seeking the self. We are seeking the self, holding on to other things. So it's like once Ramakrishna Paramahamsa asked Swami Vivekananda that you are a fly. So you are a fly, and you want to, there is a bowl of Amritam. So you want to drink it. So what will you do? So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, Swami Vivekananda said to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa that I'll like sit at the side of the bowl and then drink it. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, like, oh Narendra, that is Amritam. You can just fall into it. If you fall into it, then you will become eternal. You don't have to worry. You will drink it and you will become eternal. So rather than trying to be like the fly, holding on to worldly things and still trying to be spiritual, that is not devotion. Such a devotion is not devotion at all. And such a devotion will not invoke Shiva Shakti. Such a devotion lacks mental emotions, intellectual conviction as well. Oh, it lacks only mental emotion, not intellectual conviction. Intellectual conviction is definitely lacking, because a strong intellect will always ascertain. It will always tell us that you have to seek Ishvara. There is nothing else in life. That is the goal of life. You have to do it each and every minute of your life. If you don't do that, there is nothing else that is there in life. That is what I have to do. I will remember Ishvara. I will remember Ishvara. That Ishvara who pervades the entire world. I will remember that Ishvara. Everything in the Naam is just a Nama Rupam. I'll remember that Ishvara who is blissful in nature. So a real intellect is that which will always ascertain that. Mental emotion, what is mental emotion? Mental emotion is when the mind says that I have to be attached to Ishvara. So the intellect says, okay, this is right. But though the intellect might say this is right, the mind can say, oh no, I don't want this. Even as when like when the husband says, oh, we cannot get an HDTV, like we don't have enough money, the wife will say, oh, you don't love me, this is really bad, you don't love me, therefore you don't want to get an HDTV, I don't want it now. So that is emotional play. So I know that this is wrong, but still I have to do it. Why? Because there is no attachment to non-doing of the thing. So there is no, the attachment to Ishvara is not strong. The mind is not fixed on Ishvara. Therefore, though intellect is working a little bit, the mind overpowers. Both have to be there. So the mind has to say, I will remember Ishvara because I am attached to him. And the intellect will say, there is nothing better than remembering Ishvara. I'll remember only Ishvara. Oh, Amma called me up and scolded me. Oh, I will still remember Ishvara. Amma is also Ishvara. Scolding is Ishvara. Oh, like the power went off now. That is also Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Oh, I don't have a job now. That is also Ishvara. Oh, whatever is there is only Ishvara. I'll remember that everything is Ishvara. There is only Ishvara here, Ananda Swarupam. Anandam alone is there here. As Ramana Maharshi used to say, wherever I see only Anandam. I don't see Dukkham at all. So that is real devotion, like Meera Amma always says about Meera Bhai. So she was able to drink even poison. Why? Because she saw Ishvara in it. So it's easy to get deluded or distracted by the devotion and like, oh, when I hear that Mirabai's song, tears come off my eyes. So although those can happen, that is not devotion. Real devotion is when we don't differentiate at all. Everything is filled with Ishvara. There is no poison. Mirabai couldn't even differentiate between poison, but we claim that we are devotees. And when something comes up in front, we just forget Ishvara. Everything else will be there. Oh, I have to take care of my parents. Why? Amma said. So at that time, Amma said will come. But Amma says in all her discourses that everything Ishvara is all pervasive. Anandam is a decision that we have to make. Whatever happens, I'll be happy. Amma says all those. But we just do selective listening. We just listen what we want to and then twist those words. That is not devotion. Real devotion is when we see everything as blissful. So whatever happens, it's blissful. Bliss alone. Oh, whatever happens, it's bliss. Therefore, oh, today, like I wasn't able to remember Ishvara. I was only able to remember my father because he called me up. But that is also bliss. Yes, that is also bliss. Definitely very good approach. But tomorrow, when father passes away, then also we should say that is bliss. Oh, father passed away, that is also bliss. Rather than crying. There is where the real testing will come. That is the real test. We can say, like we can twist scriptural statements to suit our own needs. And then misinterpret them, misquote them. We can do all those. My father is Brahman, I have to take care of him. So we can say all those, but when the father vanishes, then we have to say that vanishing father is also Brahman and be happy. So that is what is real devotion. A real devotee will not differentiate between father or mother or brother or stranger. Everybody is the same for a real devotee. A real devotee doesn't differentiate at all. His mind is attached to Ishvara. His intellect constantly ascertains that this Ishvara is all pervasive and he is Anandam. So wherever I see only Anandam. So let me at least for one day try it out. Oh, whatever I see, I'll be Anandam. There is only Anandam. Oh, this person is scolding me. Oh, Anandam. Oh, my father told me to immediately call me. Oh, that is also Anandam. I'll call up my father. If I cannot call up, that is also Anandam. Oh, I don't have minutes. Now, can you please give the phone? I have to call my father. Why? Oh, my father is Brahman, I have to call him. That is not the real attitude. The right attitude is, oh, I don't have enough minutes now. I'm busy now, so let my father wait. Father is also Anandam. Even if he waits, that is also Anandam. So everything, there is Anandam only everywhere. Everywhere it is, there is only Anandam. Just remembering that Ananda Swaroop, Ishvara, is present everywhere. Whatever we see is just Nama Rupam in Ishvara. It is Ishvara alone. That is real devotion. Constantly being focused on Ishvara, that is Mai Eva Mana Adatswa, using the mind, using the feminine qualities and using the masculine qualities, asserting with the intellect, ascertaining that everything is just Ishvara. Whenever we see something, immediately the intellect says, oh, this is Ishvara. Even as when we see something and somebody says, oh, that is a rocket. Oh, whom are you trying to fool? That is just a car, I know. The moment I see, I can say, oh, this is a car. Similarly, the moment when we see something, oh, this is Nama Rupam, this is Ishvara only. This is Ananda Surubi Ishvara. The moment we get that devotion, and this is very easy to practice, very easy, just simple. With the mind, I will get attached to Ishvara, intellect. This is only Ishvara. It's very simple to do. So if we do that, if we try to do it, then we'll find that everything is Anandam. All obstacles immediately vanish and there will be only Anandam everywhere. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to ever see Anandam everywhere. Namaskar.